This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message. And if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
On this Father's Day, I think it's only appropriate that we do a little exploration of arguably the father who faced the greatest challenge of all fathers, and that's of Joseph, the one who, not the obviously the biological father of Jesus, but the one who was the earthly father of Jesus. And before we read the scripture, you know, it's interesting that in the Gospels, only Matthew gives Joseph real prominence. Mark doesn't even mention Joseph at any point. John simply mentions him as the father of Jesus a couple times. Luke mentions him as Mary's husband at Jesus' circumcision. And then there's the incident at the temple when Jesus is 12. Only Matthew gives us a picture of what kind of man and father our brother Joseph was. So let's stand and read the first scripture we have about Matthew. Let's pray first. Lord God, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for inspiring this word. Holy Spirit, it's always your voice we want to hear. You're the true preacher and teacher as we read your word. So open our minds, hearts, and spirits to your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Matthew 1, starting with verse 18. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Matthew tells us clearly about Joseph the righteous. He says Joseph is a righteous man. And in this context, it's not in terms of eternal salvation, but in terms of daily living and the way Joseph decided to live his life. And what we see, his daily life aligned with what he knew of God. Now, where did this come from for Joseph, that he had made that decision to align his life with the way that God wanted him to live? Well, you know, when we talk about righteousness and living righteously, I don't know if you thought about this, but it assumes that there is something else called unrighteous living that you're pushing back against and maybe being tempted by. It's a decision to follow God and not follow the evil one, and not follow a life that's harmful to others. Now, we got to remind ourselves as well in this context of what was allowed in the Jewish community. And we're going to take a quick look at Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 22, just 23 and 24. You don't have to turn there or anything. It says this: suppose a man meets a young woman, a virgin, who is engaged to be married. Whoops, that would be Mary. And he has sexual intercourse with her. If this happens within a town, you must take both of them to the gates of that town and stone them to death. The woman is guilty because she did not cry for help. The man must die because he violated another man's wife. In this way, you will purge this evil from among you. Now, that was one possibility. That was one direction that could be taken. And Joseph was faced with the fact that the woman he was betrothed to was clearly pregnant and not by him. Now, we can assume that Mary told him what happened. But would you believe it? Would you believe it? But then God sent a dream. Here's who Joseph chose to emulate. Let's take a look at Exodus 34. In Exodus 34, 6 and 7 describes who the Lord is. The Lord describes himself. He's passing in front of Moses. Moses said, "Tell me what you're really like." And the Lord says this: the Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, "Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin." God the Lord was Israel's father. But Moses was serving as their earthly father, guiding and teaching them until his work was done. Now Jesus is the beginning of the new and renewed Israel, God being Jesus' father. But Joseph playing a role like Moses, guiding and teaching Jesus until Joseph's work was done. And there was perhaps another scripture passage that Joseph reflected on. Really an incredible story in the Hebrew scriptures about the prophet Hosea. Here is what Joseph knew about Hosea. This is the beginning of Hosea. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go and marry a prostitute, so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods." Hosea, think about this. Hosea, who was a righteous man, was called to be a faithful husband to an unfaithful wife as a living example of God's faithfulness to his unfaithful people. Hosea faced humiliation and scorn from the people around him who did not have the eyes to see or the ears to hear that Hosea was a main character in the drama revealing how patient, how long-suffering, how faithful God was being to his unfaithful people. You know, both Hosea and Joseph were raising children that were not their own. Now, Mary was not unfaithful, but almost certainly the entire village of Nazareth thought she was. Joseph chose to follow in Hosea's footsteps. He chose this, accepting a lifetime of scorn and humiliation from others who did not see, did not recognize the astonishing drama that was unfolding before them. Two ordinary people, Mary and Joseph, sacrificing their reputation, their image in the community for the sake of God's eternal plan for the human race. And let me just remind you of this, because every one of us here as a follower of Jesus has been challenged to make, maybe not, obviously not that sacrifice, but a different one, where we're making sacrifices for the Lord. And just a reminder, don't you ever think that who you are in Christ Jesus doesn't have an impact on the entire human race in one way or another. You know, we've got to remind ourselves that Joseph did not make that decision. He did to keep Mary and to marry Mary. He didn't make that decision really when the dream came. And, you know, he didn't have to obey the dream either. But he didn't make that decision when the dream came. So when did he make it? Actually, he made that decision long before. He made it long before when he decided to live a righteous life, a life that aligned with whom he knew God to be, a daily life of being generous and kind to those in his community and welcoming newcomers, a daily life of being an honest workman, trustworthy in all his business dealings and fair to any employees he may have had, a daily life that reflected the daily life of his God. He had made the decision to obey the dream long before. He just didn't know it. You know, it reminds me of the story I've told before of James Calvert from a couple centuries ago. James Calvert was a missionary to the cannibals of the Fiji Islands. When he and his fellow missionaries were preparing to land on the island, the captain of the ship that brought them tried to get them to turn back. "You will die, and everyone with you will die if you get off this ship," he cried. And after a moment, James Calvert replied simply, "We died before we came. We died before we even left." Joseph the righteous. But then Matthew goes on, and we see Joseph the protector. You know, there's a scene in a movie where a father is sitting with his three sons, and he's telling them about who he expects them to be. And he said, "You know, boys, there are three kinds of people in this world. There are predators, and there's prey, and then there are protectors." And he said, "I always better see you guys being protectors of those who are vulnerable against predators." Here we see, let's go back to Matthew. This is in Matthew 2, 13 through 15, and then 19 through 23. The wise men, the magi, have come. Jesus is probably about 2 years old. They've come, they've given their gifts, and they've left. And as we know, they went to King Herod saying, hey, where's the king of the Jews? Well, if you're talking to the king and you're asking where's the king of the Jews has been born, that's threatening to King Herod. Especially he was a murderous megalomaniac. So King Herod says, hey, let me know when you find him so I can go worship him. Liar, right? So after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up! Flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, I called my son out of Egypt. So this is the second dream that Joseph has obeyed. And then later on, we read, when Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph. This is Joseph's third dream from the Lord. The angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead. So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned in a fourth dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said, he will be called a Nazarene. Now, this brings up, or I hope it brings up, if you're thinking, a pretty simple question. Okay, Jesus is God's son, correct? Why isn't God protecting his own son? What's up with that, right? What's up with that? Well, here we have the most powerful person in the country wants the baby Jesus dead. Why doesn't God do something? Well, he does do something. He does do something. He relies on a faithful human. God relies on a faithful human to protect his son. You know, we've got to remember, in the beginning, when God created the earth and created the two humans, Adam and Eve, in the beginning, God gave the care of this planet and its people to human beings. That's the plan. He was really sharing in his sovereignty in a way, right? He was sharing in his power. Well, then the first humans, Adam and Eve, abdicated their responsibility and they gave it to the evil one. That's why this planet is such a mess and has been. Because the running of this planet was given over to the evil one until Jesus came and started reversing that curse. So they gave it to the evil one, but God said, no, humans are going to continue to be integral leaders in my plans. If you're a human, I think we got mostly humans in the room, you're part of that plan, one way or the other. You are part of that plan. And so we look back at people like Abraham, Moses, David, and many others, all being protectors, opposing those who choose to be predators. And Joseph knew that history well. All Israel, everybody in Israel knew that history. You know, Herod chose to be a vicious predator, and Joseph chose to be God's protector. Now, you know, in all of this, the only question for us is whom we will choose to be. It's whom we will choose to be. The last time we see Joseph is actually in Luke 2, starting with verse 41. And here, actually, we see Joseph, job done. Here's what we learn. Jesus is 12. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. And after the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere." "But why did you need to search?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. This is the last time we hear of Joseph. You know, someone, I can't remember who, wrote, "Jesus went to Jerusalem a boy, and he left the temple as a man." Can we say that a big part of Jesus getting there was watching Joseph day by day live a righteous life before God? Was there a bittersweetness for Joseph that the son he has raised was now a man who had his own relationship with the living God and in some ways no longer needed Joseph? A son who had his own path of obedience, suffering, and sacrifice laid before him, becoming the protector, the sacrifice of his life for the salvation of the world and all of us. Brothers and sisters, let us follow Joseph. Let us follow Joseph in faithful righteousness and being protectors of the vulnerable. Let us pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. If you would like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. God bless you today.